And it's the Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program every Sunday, and then the podcast, of course, around the world at WHLC.com with our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor. We got to scoot through this. You're on your way for a run.
That's right, Steve. I'm already dressed in my Atlanta Track Club uniform. I'm going to jump on a plane. This is on Friday in Asheville and go to Indianapolis, where I'll run the Monumental Mile that's being sponsored by the United States Track and Field Association on Saturday morning. And then I'm going to jump back on the plane and be back here Saturday night, because I'm still working at my pottery studio trying to fire my kilns, because I'm going to be in the Mountaintop Rotary Club Arts and Crafts Show in the park next weekend, starting on Saturday morning. So I hope everybody can come out and support this very important event for artists and craftsmen, but also it's a great event for our nonprofit community. The Rotary Club does a wonderful job of putting that on.
You just come back from your community coffee at the Hudson Library, the Thursday board meeting. Riverwalk concerns. What's everybody concerned about? Somebody wants to keep building, and that's his prerogative.
We received a petition of people in that area concerning about the traffic that it would generate on Colasadia Road. Our staff had spent hours upon hours answering questions that certain people with this group had posed, yet they wanted to submit a petition before the board. We honored that. They brought a petition at the board meeting on Thursday night. The contractor who's doing the building also came and made his case on what he's doing and how he'll try to minimize traffic on Colasadia Drive and use the exit from Riverwalk on 64. We had had our attorney look at the original subdivision plat that was in 2005. He also looked at the one that modified the layout of the subdivision in 2010. Our staff talked about the issue. Our police department and our chief emphasized they just can't stop people randomly wanting to know if they're going to a job site in Riverwalk. That's not constitutional, which of course is the case. And there's no ordinance on the books that says that a worker driving a pickup truck can't go to a job site in Colasadia and access Riverwalk. The board heard it, and of course they took no action. That issue is resolved. We'll continue to work with the contractor to make sure that he tries to minimize traffic flow. But as I said, I go up and down Colasadia all the time in the morning. I haven't noticed a lot of increase in traffic. On the other hand, I will say that some of the people that signed the petition have had houses built recently in that area, or they've done renovation or add-ons. There's a constitutional principle here, and that's equal protection and equal access. If someone buys a piece of property and they want to put a house on and they meet all the ordinance requirements and building codes, that's their right to do that. It's called the American Free Enterprise System.
Two public hearings. The first one, that's a big one, the 25-26 budget. There was a lot covered, obviously.
Well, at my community coffee, I announced that the board approved the budget. It's $40,800,000. It's a big budget. About $13 million of that are grants and state funds. That is now in place for July 1st, but then I started laughing and saying that's not the end of the story. The auditors will be coming in very soon in the next few weeks. They'll start reviewing all of our records, all of our financial transactions. They'll do an audit, which they will present to the board in December. They will have sent it to the Local Government Commission of North Carolina, where their auditors will look at the audit that the independent auditors committed to doing for the town. It's a constant process of showing accountability for the tax dollars that we allocate for the operation of the city.
The public hearing, the Unified Development Ordinance, Section 8.3.2, floor area ratio, the B1 commercial building restrictions of 1.4:1.
Well, Steve, you got that right, and I will tell you, when I announce that on the agenda, I have to painstakingly read all those numbers and everything, because it's a part of the public hearing process. But we did have that public hearing. It was approved. That allows the property owners to have more density and use of their property. Commissioner Weller brought up a concern about attic space and the angle of the roof that we will look at and address specifically at our next board meeting, because Jeff, who's an architect, was concerned that the way we had proposed this change, somebody could just make a big 35-foot box going up the front of the town, and that wouldn't architecturally look well. So we're going to go back and make that adjustment. It will still allow the owners of those properties to maximize the use of their property. Increasing density in the business area, B1, I'm all for. That's where you should have high density levels. At the same time, keeping lower densities in the residential areas, I think that's the balance we want to achieve.
This has been a saga. Okay, the Visitor Center building lease discussion. Has the discussion ceased? Is there some kind of a closure?
We agreed to a one-year lease, both the chamber and the town. They also provided us a check for $40,000 for landscaping downtown. I appreciate that, but I think that there will be an ongoing review about TDA funds, how they're allocated, how it's structured. I think we'll continue to be engaged in discussions and reviews in the coming year.
Just love how parking just keeps showing up. But this is employee parking, and the restriction was reviewed. And what's going on with the downtown parking for employees?
Commissioner Patterson brought that up at a previous meeting. We asked the planning board to kind of review the current requirements for employee parking on off streets. They did that. They made some adjustments to where we would open up parking closer to B1 for some of our guests and people that want to patronize the business district, and moved some employee parking up the street, let's say on Oak Street. On the other side, we unrestricted some of the areas on Main Street down by First, where employees can park there in front of Wright Square. On the east side of 4th Street across from Town Hall, that had been designated as employee parking, and that didn't make a lot of sense to a lot of us. You have shops right there. You want customers and patrons of downtown to park there, so we made that minor adjustment. It was very similar to the folks when we were going to put the parallel parking on the top of 4th and eliminate that diagonal parking. The business people said, no, we want more parking there for our businesses. We honored that, and now we're going to try to get the state to adjust the center line and solve that problem. And it's kind of in that spirit. You want where you have storefronts, potential customers parking there, and then the employees parking in other areas. We got a good balance. I appreciate what the planning board did in their recommendations that we approved.
Okay, the sun is shining, the angels are singing, the light is coming through the clouds. The approval of the low bid. You got a low bid for the Dog Mountain Waterline Project.
Yes, we did, and our town manager will be able to sleep at night now because that had been delayed by state review for several years. We were afraid inflation would just kill the project and we'd have to go and allocate hundreds of thousands of dollars of more money, but Stillwell Enterprises came in with a low bid of 2.5. We had already spent $600,000 on the engineering, so we're within budget, and we have a little small contingency fund. That's the good news, Steve. The bad news is now we have to send the bids to the state folks. They will review what our engineers reviewed on the bid, saying that they comply with the specs and we have a low bid. So now, hopefully, the state will do this within a month or so or a few weeks so we can tell the contractor to proceed. And sometime in September or October, actual construction on that project should get underway.
I can see that in your eyes, that there could be something that might get in the way.
Yes.
The Boys and Girls Club presentation from Cashers, and it's all about the kids and what they can do after school, et cetera.
You know, we had a long meeting. Some parts were contentious, but when we had Mike Kistner and Carmen Waite of the Boys and Girls Club come and make the presentation, I think it lifted the spirits of all the board members, because what they want to do is to create a partnership with the town. Right now, they have a fantastic after-school and summer program with their wonderful facility in Cashers. They work with Tom Neal of the Highlands Cashers Hospital with some open space a number of years ago, and they've been operating a small program here to serve Highlands. But it's growing, the demand is there, and they need a bigger space. So they came and made a proposal to build a Boys and Girls Club facility at the rec park where the old Houston House used to be. We think it's a wonderful idea. They had a great plan. it would be a partnership with the town, the Boys and Girls Club, and other agencies. I'd hope that the county would contribute, the town would contribute, we'll contribute the land, and then there'd be an effort to raise private funds, which I think would be very successful. We were all excited about it because there are a lot of needs in this community. Commissioner Patterson went this week to a housing conference at Western Carolina. She was telling members of the board, the housing crisis, that's an uphill battle. Another thing that is directly related to it is child care. And this is an opportunity for us to make headway by providing quality after-school programs and programs in the summer for students of parents that are working, making a living. And I think it's just going to be a fantastic investment in this community. And I really appreciate Mike and Carmen coming in and briefing the board and making that wonderful presentation. The next step is we're going to have a workshop where we bring everybody again together and see how we can take concrete steps to make this a reality.
Let's hope the corporations can keep away from buying all those homes and the rents going up. It seems to be happening in Atlanta. One company owns 19,000 homes, and it's just amazing. There's going to be an investigation or try to see what's going on with that.
Well, I was talking with Commissioner Patterson after the meeting about the housing. She was saying, you know what, she came away from this conference at Western Carolina was, not one entity can solve the problem. It has to be a partnership of government entities, nonprofits, and the private sector. We all have to work together in coming up with those kind of decisions and challenges.
I know you're heading to the airport and going into Indianapolis for that monument run. You've already all set. You don't have to get dressed because you're all set in your running gear, it looks like. So we'll talk about how you did next week.
Okay, thanks, Steve.